Is Dave showing?
I heard.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Here you are, sir.
I like the new order.
I didn't know that we had done that.
Oh, no, I didn't talk to him. I didn't know. I didn't think he listened.
Gonna be the last one for a little while.
I shouldn't say that.
For Poe.
Colors.
Gotta wait till July.
So Melissa, you did say that Dave was.
Yes.
Well, I think we're gonna start without him on time, so let's call the meeting to order. Are there any announcements?
Snow's gone.
Snow is not gone at my house yet, but.
Well, it's actually not gone from mine, but it's pretty new.
Public or approval of the agenda additions, corrections, deletions, or any more reorganization by Tony?
Wow.
I'd like to add something if I could.
Yes, please.
I would like to add, and we can put that under managers if you want or something.
Excuse me.
Brief talk about Sally Manzera situation.
Okay.
You know, we have an interpretive board there.
Let's put that under managers.
Okay. And then it's not on here. I can also, I just briefly talk about the MOD project.
Okay.
So just put that under managers. If you
managers
want.
As well. Okay.
That's all I have. Can we,
Cook,
if we have time, add a brief conversation about the agenda organization?
Do you want to put that under managers as well? Agenda organization. Okay. Anything else? Yes, John. Oh, excuse me. Let's see that.
Excuse me.
Do you want to talk about meeting recordings and
Okay, let's add meeting recordings to managers. That's number 7. And all right. And then the accounting practices, checking, deposits, delivery, things like that will be number 8. That should add a half an hour.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to change these times here.
All right, public forum. Anyone wishing to address the board that's not already on the agenda? Nope, nobody? Okay, good. Consent calendar. Anybody have anything?
I don't want to remove the budget, the treasury report stuff.
Okay.
All right.
I know we're going to talk about it, so I think I'm out of view.
All right, so the treasury report is removed from the consent calendar. Anything else? Anybody have any other items?
I make a motion we approve the consent calendar.
Oh, I have a question about the minutes, but I don't know the facts.
Well, no, I didn't get a second to do the minutes.
Well, the minutes are second. They're not, I don't think.
They're in the consent calendar.
So do you want to remove the minutes then, Lincoln, or what?
Well, it's too small of a question. Do we have a funding formula for the community grant and plan?
No.
Program? We don't. Okay, so that needs to be struck. It says the funding formula for the community grant and plant grant remain the same. I think we ought to just say the Valley Branch community grant and plant grant remain the same. Or something like that. That's all. Okay, I'll put it back in there.
Okay, so the treasurer, or not the treasurer, excuse me.
I'll second.
The minutes are back into the consent calendar. The treasurer's report is removed from the consent calendar to be discussed. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, that's approved. Let's see. We have updates and requests from partners and volunteers. Community cost share grant request from Oakdale Native Planting. I don't, are you here from that?
Yeah, I'm in the city of Oakdale. I thought the supervisor would be here, so I guess I'm just representing this.
Well, I think you were gonna do some things, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
From the last meeting.
So we got the snow and we never got back out there to do any contour elevation shots. We added a couple pictures to our application.
Right. Looked at those.
Anybody have any comments from this?
Let's see.
Excuse me.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, you're asking for $3,000, and this is a $13,000-$15,000 thing that I remember. Mm-hmm. I just was wondering why the city doesn't have the money. We're just shuffling tax money here.
We just kind of, we normally have the Lions Club helps give us some money, but this year they're trying to go a different avenue for a tree track ID and a nature preserve. So we kind of lost that.
Okay.
The last couple of years.
No, but I did go against snowstorm, the blizzard of the century.
Oh, excuse me.
So I didn't get the stick readings that I wanted to get for you. We added a couple photos. I do have a few more photos. They don't show a whole lot. I took some, I don't know, would you like to see them?
I think the photos are, I mean, for me, these photos tell me what the deal is.
We added.
I don't know about others.
The co-phosphorus road that was going to be removed. And the outline of the visual watershed, what's draining towards that garden, basically. I'll leave it.
Thank you.
That's in my first string in this time. See if he could do any better.
We were going to double it till you showed up, so I mean, I don't know.
So, there's two ways to look at this, as far as I'm concerned. We have a slim budget and some budgetary issues, at least until we receive our first our levy installment in July. So that's one issue that's not going away for the next 2 months. That's problematic right now on one hand. And on the other hand, if we consider this part of the BMPs, our budget for BMPs, which is in my packet here somewhere, is roughly, I'm going to say, $11,000 or $12,000 left, and this would bring it down to $9,000 if anybody has that right in front of them.
Well, this.
Pardon me.
$9,700.
That's what would be left if we. So my numbers are.
Don't we have a different
excuse me
budget line for that? For
where is that?
Probably
Lincoln. For community and developers. Oh, yeah, cost share for non-developers.
Yes, Yeah, this is what we're looking at. So it's on the regular VMP, VMP cost share program list.
Yep, I see that. And we didn't do the developer one. Okay.
The only thing I might add is we wouldn't be turning in any receipts until it gets inspected by Terra Klein.
Dave, do you want to comment on this? You're the one that had the comments on the a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you feel like stepping
no, up? No, I appreciate that you guys added the pictures. I still am not sure that this is, in my opinion, the type of project. It looks like a very steep hillside, and putting plants there is probably going to stabilize the bank, but not going to catch a whole lot of water. So I guess in just my personal opinion, I'm not sure that this is what we're supposed to be funding with these projects, but I appreciate you guys doing this and coming back, but it's up to the whole team, not just me. So
what's the storm sewer drainage on the street that it runs into?
I'm not exactly sure what you're asking, but
well, is there a storm sewer?
Yes, so that's an under-drain rain garden, so that rain garden filters and drains right into the street storm sewer, heads directly west into basically.
Okay. Okay, so it goes into this pond out to the west. I see. So it goes under the hill. I guess, huh?
Well, no. The so
goes into here.
The planting we are doing is west of the road.
Yeah.
So it flows. So are you asking about this rain garden drains into the street drain? And
yeah, I'm asking about water that gets into the street.
Yeah,
where does it go? Okay, directly.
This two pond system. Right
there's
here.
No,
yep.
Okay.
Other than that, some of it flows through this new rain garden first.
And these are stormwater ponds?
Yes.
Deep.
It's Olson Lake Estates.
Stormwater ponds, right. Okay, I'll just say that I would support $1,000, but I mean I think it's great. It doesn't look like it's a terribly steep bank, and the gain is some phosphorus that ends up in stormwater ponds that then have their own filtration that then passes on. So it seems like it sort of dead ends.
So anybody else have any questions about it at all? So, Lincoln, I think if you want to state that, there would be a motion for you to say
okay,
that you would like to support it.
I'll move to support the Oakdale Community Grant request to the tune of $1,000.
Second.
Okay. Move a second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. $1,000. Thanks
I
for
hope
coming
that helps.
Back.
That's, you know.
Okay. I wouldn't either.
I thought the rule was if we granted any kind of funding that they had to stay to the entire meeting.
For the next three.
When did we change that?
That would be sheer torture.
Would you mind a deferral on that check?
No, I wouldn't. I don't quite understand what you're...
We'll see that you get paid. You can hold on to July if that's okay with it.
Have Tara not inspect until
certainly.
Later. That's all we're asking.
After July.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for coming and
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
It's a lovely night.
And thanks for your second effort.
Good job. Okay, moving along, we have the permit program inspections.
Yes, President Major, I gave you an updated report. Since we have so much snow, there wasn't much inspecting going on. Today I visited some sites and I can give you a quick verbal update on some of the key items. Afton Village, the pump at the levee station was tested last Friday. It is up and running right now. The river is at the base of the levee right now, expected to come up about 2 more feet by next Wednesday, but nothing's threatened. The levee has been blanketed and seeded, although nothing's up yet. So that appears to be pretty stable. This week, yesterday, they came back through and hydro-seeded and mulched some of the bare areas in town that got washed away during the winter just to stabilize those areas. So those are some things going on in Afton. A quick note, the Landucci Moyna Ravine project that you did a couple years ago. Just last week after the last melt, there was water running for 2 days. And that was the same last month in the brief thaw. But I did go up and take a look at it. I don't live very far from there. No water was coming down through the ravine stabilization project. It was all coming from there's a fork in the ravine, and part of it goes to the Laco property, and the water was coming from there. So I have seen no water come down that ravine stabilization project in the last 2 years from your side. So just because I'm by there all the time. I live a quarter mile up the road. So I was over at the Islamic Center on Monday, just checking in with the general contractor. Some cleanup inlet covers, bags were popped up from snow plowing. They're in a push to clean up things there, so they'll be getting that taken care of, getting things swept, and it still needs final grading and restoration. Legends of Woodbury, I walked that site with the general contractor on Monday. Frost is out. They're not hauling any more soil out of that property. And as of today, the north side has, the silt fence has been installed, so everything's buttoned up pretty tight there. Down at South Wind, the big retention pond is not complete. A lot of pressure to get that done so they can release lots, finish sidewalks. But there's a lot of water in there that has to be dealt with, and they can't pump it out across the Cimarron property. So I'm not sure where they can dewater it to. There's really nowhere for them to go with it. So that's something that I've got to keep an eye on, what they're going to plan to do there. Shops of Lake Elmo has been surveyed, but nothing started there. Was at Hummus on Monday, walked through the infiltration basins 4 and 5 were pretty much the same, full of water. I did happen to catch up with the Rachel's crew that's going to be working on storm sewer, Brian Schmidt. The project foreman there was great. We walked the site, talked about some of the dewatering issues up top. They implemented the dewatering, and they've done a nice job of setting up that to drain gradually out of the water that's being held up on top so that we don't cause any flooding by some adjacent property owners. So they're doing a good job keeping an eye on that, so that's moved along well. Rock Point Church, that infiltration basin is full Monday. It's come down probably 1 to 2 feet during the week, so it's come down quite a bit. Hidden Meadows, which I know is on the discussion topic here, there's equipment stage, but nothing else is moving forward there. Keats and Jocelyn, water levels appear to be normal near the road. I did run into an issue at Cedar Leaf Point. Sediment draining into the lake with the overflow and from infiltration basin 1, and I've asked them to address it at the beginning with it, at the exit and at the source. Those are really some of the key points of some of the sites this week. Questions?
No, not for me, looks good.
Thank you, anybody else have anything at all?
No.
Okay, then next is we have the permit 2016-19. Revision request from Thomas Property and Lake Elmo.
President Lucas, managers, if you recall the last meeting, we had a discussion with the developer and this engineer about looking at whether the too much or a larger estimate of impervious surface had been included in the original design, and you asked them to go back and look at, see if that is the amount of imperviousness that's really being constructed on these lots, and if not, if maybe the impervious surfaces in the new areas could be restricted so that infiltration basins,
okay,
their size are protected. The developer's engineer looked at the site and included the stormwater benefit of the backyard swales on the site. And doing that, they're able to produce an annual average runoff volume that is less than what the Valley Branch bomb control rule would require, but they would still be not conforming to the Washington District's bomb control rule that was a little bit more of the first flush of runoff. And so if you look at the pollutant load, they're pretty close to what they would be if they were matching the Valley Branch performance goal, but they're slightly, they're providing slightly less workload.
So this is, so they're, so they're 3% lower than what we require. Is that what I'm reading?
President Lucas, Manager Fetcher, yes, if you look on the table on the first page of the permit review memo, if they were to conform to the Washington District's rule of the 1.1 inches times impervious surface, that would equate to 97% total phosphorus removal, 31.1 pounds of particulate, and 26.3 pounds of dissolved phosphorus. Their proposed conditions, they are removing 94% of phosphorus, and you can see the numbers, the ratio of particulate to dissolved.
So where does this this runoff end up?
All of the, President Lucas, managers, all of the runoff ends up in Goose Lake, the south lobe of Goose Lake.
Yeah.
And how, that's pretty direct because it's right here, right?
Right.
Already super impaired.
Excuse me.
I don't know. My feeling is that these big developments and some of the water quality issues that we have, that I think that we ought to have them figure out ways to meet or exceed. You know, every little bit adds up, and you know, it doesn't seem like much, but. My opinion.
Yep, we're listening. Anybody else have anything?
Yes, it's very simple, gentlemen. I remember delivering a nay last time. We're not trying to stop anything, but we have our rules and regs. So we don't know what it's going to take to get you gentlemen or whoever does this to create those areas that need to comply with the 100% conformance for volume control, and the numbers are nice, but they're not adding up, so we need to do something, and we can't just say, oh, you're close, here you go, and that is my concern. Yes.
President Lucas, and I guess what I struggle with, and 2 weeks ago, the conversation was centered around volume control.
Right.
And it does conform to volume control.
Yeah, it does?
We're actually controlling more volume on an annualized basis.
Yes.
Okay.
And part of what we're dealing with here is we went into a condition that, you know, we didn't do all the original grading. We had issues. There was, you know, Planning Commissioner Kreimer's house was getting, his yard was getting flooded. We corrected all of those things. And as your inspector noted, our guys are diligent on site. And we are doing the best we can. And the standard, as I understand it, I'm no expert in stormwater, but the standard is, are we doing everything practicable? And the fact that we're controlling more overall annualized volume than is required. And, you know, again, if you're in school and you get a 97% versus a 94%, you're still making an A. So at some point, have we done everything practical? And I would submit to you that we this was not a green field that we started with. We started with a pit. That was a reclamation pit. And there was issues, and there was runoff, and there was all kinds of things. And when this is all said and done, you're going to have a very nice residential community, HOA maintained, you've got plantings and landscaping, and a very nice community. So at some point, we need to look at this and go, you know what? 94% is an A. And we took a condition that was definitely challenged, and we've made it better. And we're controlling the volume. So I think the big issue 2 weeks ago, my takeaway was, we've got to control the volume going into Goose Lake. Because the county feels like all the development's creating Goose Lake going hot.
Or the roads.
Well.
Yeah. That was the other
And issue. Here's the issue. I mean, we are controlling, on an annualized basis, more volume than your regulations would require. So from that standpoint, I feel like the county doesn't have a leg to stand on if they argue with you. Whereas, and so my point is we are doing everything practicable to manage the stormwater on the site.
So let me interrupt, because you're stating your case, and in my recollection also, and I know my position or point last week, was the biggest concern was volume control because of Goose Lake and because of Keats Avenue. And I think we went around and around and around and around on that. And so you've done that, as far as I'm concerned. Personally, missing a little bit of phosphorus here and there, I'm kind of wishing that we had a wetland banking program for nitrogen and phosphorus right now, because I'd say, hey, how about, you know, kicking in where you're missing a little bit here on another project and doing a little trade-off, because then we'd still be saving nitrogen and phosphorus. You see what I'm saying? But we don't have that program. I think it's not a bad idea. But anyway, do you want to say something, John?
President Lucas, maybe helpful to remind the managers that your rules are that you need to achieve the 1.1 times impervious surface, which is the first column on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't achieve that, then you need to do the maximum volume control possible and achieve at least 75% total phosphorus reduction. They are achieving
so they're well
75%
above that.
Total
yep.
phosphorus reduction.
Yeah.
So the question really is, do you feel that they've attempted to do as much volume control as possible?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. Make a motion that we approve permit 2016-19.
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second on the floor. Are there any further questions from anybody else regarding this?
Not me.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 There you go.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Yeah. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And
thank you. And thank you, John, for clarifying.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh? Yeah. Didn't you bring some for us?
No.
Where is West Station Town?
That is all drained out.
No, mine's in this one.
It was all in line.
Bottom run.
Got it?
Yes, I do.
Hang on.
Yep, thanks, thanks for coming.
Yep, thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with the rest. Okay, everybody, so we're moving along to Autumn Run, second edition, West Lakeland Township, permit 2017-30.
Okay.
President Lucas Managers, you issued a permit for this project last November. Since then, the developer has made some changes. The most significant changes are at the top of a hill, the north portion of the site, off of Old Ridge Avenue North. They have proposed three lots last fall, and now they have reduced it to two lots. In my opinion, that's much better. I don't think the site would fit three lots up there with the steep slopes and try to fit some water management. There's also some better surface issues there. Other than that, the project remains fairly similar. The memo did indicate that they do not conform to the bond control rule, and that was based on a conversation I had with the township engineer, and that he was not going to allow them to have storm water enter the site that's in county right away. And I haven't been, he's on a paternity leave, so I haven't been able to talk to him, but now I'm under the understanding that he will allow that, and if he does allow that, then the project would conform to the district's bond. So they would be doing a little bit of trading, where they'd be treating runoff from the county right away that is currently not treated instead of some of the impervious surface that they are creating.
So what's your recommendation here, John? Do you want to wait until you get like a solid verbal confirmation from him, or do you feel strongly enough that with that information that you have that we could go ahead and approve the permit without any other site-specific conditions? Or
President Lucas, managers, I think that you could approve it because it's a site-specific condition number one, so that they need to submit proof that they're conforming to your bond control rule. And so based on conversation with the township engineer, and that it would work itself out with that.
Okay. So I have a question about the, may I?
Yes.
I like those glasses.
Thank you.
The BMPs, perhaps not within the drainage easements. Talk about that. How much of an issue is that, pray tell?
President Lucas, managers, their grading plan, the contours, and the line work that they show for the drainage easements, it's difficult to tell if all of the stormwater BMPs are entirely within drainage easements up to the 100-year flood elevation of the BMP, and standard condition number 9 covers that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm not advising them on the specific project, and I really don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions?
I have none.
Anybody want to make a motion?
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve permit 2017-30.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Permit is approved. Okay, moving on to attorney items.
The first item is the retainage on that 2008 pond excavation. I just don't have no comment from the Duke. So apparently
oh.
contacted John, but he indicated that they would need to contact me. I've had no contact. So really, we're okay. just in a holding pattern, continue to be in a holding pattern until later this year.
We
haven't received anything, I think, by.
May I ask a couple of quick questions about that?
Yeah.
Number one, is there a statute of limitations? And number two, is this what happens to all of these, this abandonment?
Mm-hmm.
It's submitted
so
to the state?
So, I provided a memo on abandoned,
yeah.
What's deemed abandoned property, so we just followed that. So
okay.
It doesn't matter how long, so the fact that we're paying attention and following now,
okay.
The process doesn't matter.
Yeah, no problem.
We can't just put them in our general fund.
We're not, but
yeah.
It'd be nice.
I was kind of hoping for that.
You said that, and I thought that.
That
was a good question.
And received an answer.
Yeah.
So the next item then is the district's contract with Inspector Brower. So all I did is modified it for 2018. Last year's contract, we had some language of a starting rate and then a modified rate of the courses at the U of M, which is that. So this applies to his current pay rate.
Anything to say about that, Mr. Brown?
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed the last year and hope to continue on.
So you're okay with it? Okay, just check.
I think I'd like to keep the rate of pay the same for this next year. And I think that I've also mentioned including the opportunities to go to some of the Valley Branch or the MOD meetings with Valley Branch expensing that for you, but not... Yeah. Receiving a daily or hourly pay rate, that your expenses and your mileage are paid for that. So I'd just like to reiterate that for you guys if you were not here quite yet or Dave wasn't on the board yet at that time. So those are some other benefits that I feel like mm-hmm. are in addition to the contract, but I would like to propose that we move forward with the contract for at least the next 12 months, proceed as it is.
I'm with you.
Yes.
So, Susanna, what do we need to do?
Move to approve the contract.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Contract for Mr. Brower and signed, executed, and.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 I'm going to give you two originals because I'm going to give Jeff one. Thanks, Jeff.
So we're going to see you at the MOD in December.
Yeah.
You're going to like that. I think I'm going to go again. Actually, I learned a lot there.
Okay, there we go. Those go to... All right, next up. Continuing along, we have Gopher State One Call Locate Services under Administrator Engineer Items.
Okay.
Managers, back in November, December, Nathan Campbell of our office was here to talk about the inspections of Valley Branch Watershed District systems. And one of the items that we recommended was to investigate Gopher State One Call Services.
Okay.
So, Nathan's here tonight. Manager McCon asked that Nathan give an update to the managers.
Okay.
President Lucas, managers, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I'm here to talk about, as John's Major Hansen said, an important thing of operating infrastructure, and that is to locate that infrastructure, specifically using the Gopher State One Call program. So John mentioned that you had requested that we investigate some options for locating in 2018. So why would you want to locate your underground infrastructure using Gopher State One Call? Well, there's some reasons. These are two really big reasons here. You want to prevent damage to your infrastructure. These are photos from two storm sewer pipes. The one on the left is actually a tunnel that are operated by watershed organizations, and one was The one on the left was bored into by a drilling rig. The one on the right was bored through by Excel while they were directional drilling a power line. So we don't want this to happen to your infrastructure.
Hell of an idea.
another reason why is because Minnesota rules say that you should do that or you shall do that. Attorney Torsett took a look at the state administrative rules and Valley Branch as an operator, as an owner and operator of underground facilities should be participating in a one call system, which in Minnesota is the Gopher State, or at least presently is the Gopher State one call system, and you're required to submit information to that notification center, routinely update that information, and then receive excavation reports and provide information and locate your underground infrastructure.
That too.
So presently, Valley Ranch is not doing that. Right now, your infrastructure, you communicate the presence of your infrastructure through many times through easements, sometimes just through relationships with landowners. Yes.
Nathan, forgive me, just a brief interruption. How is it that we've been getting away with this for so long? Because it's a statute requirement.
Sure. President Lucas, Manager Michonne, it's a great question. Because you've had infrastructure, underground infrastructure, since the late 80s, and I believe this rule came into effect in about 2005. I would say that primarily it's large utility owners that are complying, and municipalities are the primary entities that currently comply. We work with a number of watershed organizations around the state. I've had these conversations with many of them, and currently only one watershed organization locates any of their some of their underground infrastructure, and none that I'm aware of locate all of their underground infrastructure. So I think it's because you, compared to a lot of other entities out there, you own a rather small amount of underground infrastructure.
Can't think of a reason not to identify it, though.
So we've been lucky.
And you've been lucky. You've been lucky, but you've also been communicating with landowners through easements, through conversations, and all much of your underground infrastructure is marked with Valley Branch signage at the manhole location. In many cases, okay, those manholes are spread out or very far apart from each other, by 1,000 feet or more. But at least the presence of your underground infrastructure is there. So I don't think it's been an issue because of all of those factors. There was, as you know, recently Tiller Corporation had some concerns that Valley Branch was not locating the pipe on their property that they knew about. So they recently had contacted so about that last month.
When you say Valley Branch should locate, what do you mean by that? You mean every time somebody's at interest, we'd have to bar somebody go out and locate, or just identify the location so go for one state or the organizations that locate can find it?
Sure. President Lucas, Commander Peter. As I go through the presentation.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I'm going to step through all those. Great questions and all the next all steps about what you're required to do. But to put simply, Gopher State One Call is just the organization that collects the information and then notifies the operators. The Gopher State One Call doesn't actually do the locating. They just are a conduit for excavators to communicate to facility owners or the operators.
They don't look. Don't they identify? Don't they put their little flags out and stuff?
No, that would be the operators of each of the systems. So for example, okay, I brought a prop. This is a flag that the Capital Region Watershed District uses to to locate their underground infrastructure, and we actually do that for them. So when there's a locate request, that needs to be physically located in the field, we go out with our cans of spray paint and our little flags that say TBI. They're very cute little flags, I think. And we go and locate that. But we're told by Gopher State One Call that there is somebody that wants it.
Okay. I thought I'd seen them out there with paint cans and flags.
Yep, and those are usually operators of the, okay, the owners, you know. And so you own about 6.5 miles of underground facilities. Primarily, that's Project 1007, the Olson Lake Estates pond outlet, and Downs Lake flood duration reduction projects. Though that's almost all of it. There are also some miscellaneous pipes and culverts that you own in ravines and infiltration basins, that sort of thing. But for the most part, it's those three that I mentioned. And a little more background on Gopher State One Call itself. I think you're all familiar. It sounds like you're all some general familiarity with it. It's the call before you dig people. They advertise all the time. Call 811 before you put in a fence post. Those folks. And it's for operators and excavators to communicate to each other. So excavators, if someone's going to trench a utility or they're going to put a real estate sign in somebody's front yard, they are required to notify Gopher State One Call at least 48 hours before doing that. And then facility owners or operators such as Valley Branch must respond to that request within 48 hours unless it's an emergency, and then they have to respond immediately within the hour and actually go out on site if needed within 3 hours.
So you're saying that VAR would be able to respond within an hour or within 3 hours if someone calls in and it's an emergency on a Saturday at sunny 85 degree Saturday at 5 o'clock and everybody's out on the river and you guys are going to jump off the river and
about during
there.
A blizzard.
President Lucas, I have a great example of this because I'm the one that manages the locates for the Capital Region Water District, and the NFC title game just a couple of months ago. You may remember it was snowing quite heavily. The Vikings weren't doing so well, and I was probably, you know, enjoying the game as much as I could, and I get an emergency phone call because it was a cold night and there was a water main break in St. Paul, right near our infrastructure. So I was not in a state to go locate it myself, but I would have been
understood.
Able to get it. We're very safe at we did have a team that was ready if needed to go and physically locate that infrastructure. Fortunately, in that case, the water main break was several hundred feet away from the underground facility, so I could just say there's not a conflict, we're okay, move on. But I get phone calls at 3 a.m. I get phone calls all the
time. Nathan, when you're on vacation or where you're completely out, who does it then?
There's a woman and a coworker that is my backup. Actually, I'm technically her backup. We kind of trade off. Mm-hmm. So we always make sure that there's somebody available, and we have a third backup as well in case the two of us are gone. So we're managing on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, and we check each other's calendars.
Okay. You're on call.
Mr. On Call. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Been there, done that.
It's not the most glamorous part of my life.
No.
Nathan, one very quick question.
Yeah.
How often does this occur?
213 times in 2017.
Okay.
Yep. There are several locate types. The normal one is, you know, the easy ones. They give you a 48 hours notice. That's most of them. So they have a locate request called a meet, where they actually, for larger projects, they often want all of the facility owners to come together and have a meeting about the project that's coming. So that happens every now and then. Emergencies we've talked about, and there are also non-excavation related requests, which are usually data requests, and we just transfer some files over to help people. It's usually to help engineers design a plan set. And then there's reprocessing or updating, where you're refreshing a ticket request after many months. Some projects last you know, months and months and every moment. Actually, performing the locating is pretty straightforward. There's a whole manual on it, so we just follow the manual. If you have multiple lines, you have to mark those. Any pipes that are over 8 inches have to be the width has to be indicated on the line. You have to use the correct color for your paint and for your flags. So if you've ever wondered why on the street there's paint colors of all different types, it's because you've got different types of paint. And for storm sewer and sanitary sewer, for that matter, the color is green. So when you see green markings, that usually means some type of sewer. And you also have to mark abandoned facilities if you have them. Registering is very simple. You just fill out a two-page form for Gopher State One Call, send them mapping data for your storm sewers, and then they have that online, and they use that information to connect you to the excavators when there's a request.
So since they have information about the locations, do they ever respond in a way like clearly it's, you know, you're not even close? Or is the operator required in all cases?
President Lucas, managers, if that request, if the excavation area that the excavator has identified, often they pick very large areas because they just pick a whole parcel. Maybe the parcel is 10 or 20 acres, or maybe they indicate it's going to be on this whole block, but it's really the one location. We get a lot of false hits. And we have to sort through those. So we get, I'll mention a little later on, but over about 90% of the requests that we've been getting for Capital Region Watershed District, we can disregard within seconds. We can look at it and say, this is not anywhere near our infrastructure, and just ignore, well, we check it complete and move on. And this is what locating looks like. I get an email, For each request, today I got 6 of them. The phone calls come in for the emergency requests as well as an email. And then I just go onto the website and whether or not there's a potential for a conflict. And if there's not, then I'm able to mark that appropriately. The first thing I look at the mapping information that they provide, and if I can tell. For example, the map in the lower left-hand corner, their locate area is that area shown in blue, and the truck work interceptor is way at, I'm sorry, the locate area is shown in red, in that little box, and the underground infrastructure is the blue line at the top. I can say, oh, that's not an issue. I can move on. I was notified, but I don't need to do anything. The one on the right is a good example where I'm not sure where they haven't indicated precisely where in that huge area they're actually doing excavation work. So I have to dig into the details a little bit more. I might have to call the excavator and say, really, where is this? And as I mentioned, for Capital Region Watershed District, almost very, very few need to actually be physically located in the field. But if we do, then we do it using GPS. And to get into the idea of the cost, their potential cost and level of effort, Gopher State One Call fees, the Gopher State fees are relatively minimal. They charge $50 for every operator, and then they charge you $1.35 every time that automatic ticket goes out. So, in 2017, they estimated that Valley Branch would have been notified 217 times. So they would, you know, probably at the end of the year send you a bill for $300. The real expensive part is in the actual locating. And the least expensive, but the most important part of that is the day-to-day management of the locating tickets. So the tickets come in, like I said earlier, I had 6 tickets that came in today. Well, we didn't have to mark any of them. But I need to know a lot of information about that infrastructure so I can very quickly say, that's okay, we don't need to send a survey crew into the field. Because that's when it starts to get expensive. So that takes, you know, at most 2 to 3 hours a week of in-office kind of management. Sometimes it's only a few minutes in a week. We went up probably for a month and a half this winter with no locate requests because people weren't putting new fence posts and digging new trenches. About 10% of the locate requests need a phone call or email follow-up. 90% I can say immediately, not a problem. But that 10% is then really important that we follow up with a phone call or an email, because we can triage those a little bit more too and say, do we really need to go out there? Because we really don't want to go out there because that costs a lot of money. And so that's a really important step in the process, so we can avoid actually going out into the field if possible. And what we've been able to do through that careful management is we've been able to get down in the Fort Capital region. Of all of the tickets that we get, we're only going into the field and locating about 2%.
How many miles of pipe does Capital Region have?
6 miles, wow. And you have 6.5.
Mm-hmm. So for the Lucas managers, Capital Region and Washoe District is basically St. Paul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than they do.
And so these are the options. You know, we've explored these options for performing locates. I think the most preferable one would be to partner with a local municipality. In fact, that's what Capital Region used to do. They used to partner with the city of St. Paul, and they performed their own. After a time, after about 10 years, St. Paul said, we just can't handle doing that anymore. And they logical choice for Valley Branch would be the city of Lake Elmo, because most of your underground infrastructure, not all of it, but most of it is located within the city of Lake Elmo. We reached out to the public works staff, and they indicated that they really didn't have the capacity to take on any additional work, so that option was deemed infeasible.
How about the city of Grant? Maybe they'd do it, huh?
About who?
That's a joke.
Yeah, that's what I
city of Grant.
Don't count on them for anything.
I'm just trying to help.
That's right, I said that.
The next option that we evaluated was hiring a locating firm, because our locating firms or survey firm. Now for Capital Region, we contacted probably 4 or 5 locating firms, because there are firms that just do this. And those are probably the trucks you see driving around and they spray paint. USIC is the big one. They have the white trucks with the orange logo.
Yep.
But traditional locating companies only locate infrastructure that has tracer wire, which would be telecom, cable, gas, that sort of thing. They're not set up for storm sewer, because storm sewer and sanitary sewer does not have tracer wire. So that has to be located by GPS, which leads you to a company that has surveying capabilities. And a survey company certainly could do this. They would certainly need to come up to speed on what the infrastructure is to make sure, again, the real critical thing on the cost side is to be in the field as few times as possible, because that's where it starts. And so I would think if you hired a survey firm and they were managing the entire locating process on their own, due to the unfamiliarity with the system, they'd probably err on the side of caution and go locate more often than they would need to. So we think that would be a more expensive option. The third option would be have BAR do everything. And based on our experience with Capital Region Washoe District, it would be about $20,000. And the fourth option would be a hybrid, where we would manage the locates. We would make sure that we're only sending surveyors out when we absolutely needed to, but then a survey firm or a municipality, if you could drum up interest with a municipality, would actually do the physical locating. And that might be a comparable cost to option three, but with the the extra coordination between BAR and a survey firm or BAR and a municipality, that could end up being a little bit more. I don't think that would be a cost saving option.
Can I ask a question? So the locating has to happen once for any significant infrastructure like storm sewer, right? And then you have the GPS, and then you can tag according to GPS, or do you have to do it every time you go out?
President Lucas, Manager Fletcher, so every time there's a locate request
yeah.
that has a potential potential conflict of interest.
I understand you have to mark it, but you mark based on the GPS.
Yes. Okay. So our surveyors, all of our surveyors and all of their equipment have preloaded the Troutbrook Interceptor into their survey equipment so that they can go at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So that part is already done. And a couple of years ago, as part of the MS4 updates, right? We surveyed your infrastructure, because some of your infrastructure is so old that there wasn't really good, surveyor that got entered in a computer back in the 80s. So we've gone out and we've resurveyed where all that information is as part of updating your MS4 a few years ago. So that's what we use. That's what we would be using.
So you don't have to go out and resurvey.
We'd have to go out and use our survey equipment to mark the alignment of the pipe. So we know where it is. It's in our handheld survey equipment. And then we'd have to walk along and say, oh, okay, we're standing on top of the pipe, put a flag here, walk another 20 feet, put a flag.
Yeah, that's for the marking. But correct. You don't have to go do the actual survey to okay.
Correct. You're not actually...
So you have all the data you need.
Correct.
Okay.
There's no setup.
Okay.
No additional setup required.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And finally, recommendations as stated in the memo would be that you would direct BAR to register your underground infrastructure in the Golden City Town Hall system as of January 1st of next year. Direct BAR to perform those locating services at that time, and then as part of your budgeting process for next year, set aside $20,000 for performing locating services in 2019.
And that $20,000 is just an estimate based on what you think is going to be the number of calls coming in. You're going to charge for every time. Right. I assume you get a call, whether you got to go out or not, and then the expense comes when you go survey. Right.
That's okay. Correct.
So the $20,000 covers the 2 to 3 hours a week plus the estimated 5 site visits given 2%,
mm-hmm.
and the $1.35 for every call from Gopher, totaling about $340. So that all adds up to $20,000.
That's correct, although the 2 to 3 hours per week to manage it, that's more of a maximum time. That's if we're getting a lot of calls. The average is probably closer to an hour of in-office management time, if you average it out over the whole week.
Okay.
And we've got about 8 or 9 months under our belt with respect to Capital Region and managing that. So we've gone through much of a summer, a fall, a winter, and a spring, and much of whatever we call this spring. So we've seen what locating looks like in different seasons, which is helpful in making these estimates.
So what's the rate we get charged for the site visits?
It depends on the number of hours that it takes.
Yeah.
So for example,
per hour basis.
Oh, it would be our survey rate, which probably varies depending on the individual, could be anywhere from, I'm just going to say, probably 90 to 120, depending on who goes out, but probably.
I guess it would be
90 to probably 110.
Between 100 plus or minus.
Yeah, I'm just, okay.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that the $20,000 that Nathan is predicting, it might be high in Washington. In the Project 1007 system is mostly within Washington County right away, so unless there's going to be a lot of work done in the right away, there shouldn't be that many calls that would require going out and actually flagging the system. But I think this is a budgetary planning level cost.
Yeah.
To put out.
Well, I mean, in my calculations, I'm coming up with a good deal less than 20,000. So I'm just trying to clarify, because 20 seems high for something that has not been an issue to date. you know, I understand the need to do it, and I support it. So that's just what I'm thinking.
Any other comments?
I have none.
I was just going to, same comments Lincoln was making, it's incredibly sensitive to the number of times you guys go out in the field. And if we say we're going to do this, unless they're willing to sign a not to exceed contract, it could be anything.
Right. And I was thinking that while we may budget for that, we can make changes or make decisions about what we want to budget for or to even pursue it. But you are saying that it's something that we need to do according to law.
Statute.
Yes, so you've got to have someone who can accept those calls
right.
and respond to them.
Right.
So, you know, when I heard the contract not to exceed, I'm thinking, well, okay, then you need to be prepared with who's going to go take care of that if it exceeds that amount. I mean, I understand that our out of duty is updated as to how often it's doing this action so you can keep up with the calls. For one call system, which I think you are obligated to be.
Okay.
And also from a liability perspective.
Yeah.
The assumption really is that you are going to be part of it.
Yeah.
So if you're part of that system, Gopher makes the call to whoever your contact is and says there's going to be an excavator doing work, and you've notified that excavator, you're off the hook for liability if they dig into your infrastructure.
Right.
The statute is very clear. It's their responsibility. You know, it's the excavator's responsibility. It doesn't really say, because I don't even think it contemplates that you wouldn't be participating in this, but the information is, if you don't do it, you're on the hook. So not only are you dealing with an emergency, you could have damage to other people's property, not only Valley Branch's gravity pipe project, I'm sorry, the project 7, but if it hurts somebody else, you know,
right.
somebody else's project, so whereas I hear the concern, because my initial thought was, you know, maybe not, but I do, I think it's pretty clear you're supposed to be doing this.
Well,
I think
it's the responsible thing to do.
I think you keep your finger on
as
the
well.
Pulse, maybe, and ask for updates as to how often
yes.
calls are coming in, so you can monitor it yourself and see if you can find a creative solution if you feel it's too expensive. But I think, I mean, once you're in that system, they're making the calls, and someone has to respond. So
yep.
so then you got to figure out how who's responding and how.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And who has the data? So
if you look at this 1007 project lines, I mean, half of it's underwater. It's in an area where, like the Olson Lake Trailer, County 13 or whatever it's called, I mean, that's already done. So you're, and there's homes there, so I don't, no one's going to call. Well, yeah, you might get a call, you know, if someone wants to put in a, plant a tree or something like that, or, you know, that real estate sign they get, you know, and all that thing, but it's going to be, you'll be able to identify that, so. I don't see it as an issue financially, but
you don't see it as an issue, meaning we need to do it, or
well, I think we need to do it, and I don't think I don't think
end.
It's going to cost that much.
Okay.
Yeah,
I base that just on what I just said. So
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Although you said the prediction was 200 plus for Valley Branch, is what it would have been in 2017. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. But the vast majority of those, you would, for the reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't have to have a site visit, yeah. But yeah. So, okay.
The thing that keeps me up at night thinking about this is not actually the excavation projects, because you're going to find out about that. For that, you're going to know when that happens, like when a road reconstruction occurs over Olson Lake Estates pond outlet. You know, they had to integrate that into their plans. It's the boring. It's the early work doing soil borings.
Yeah.
Where they're not yet consulting with you about permits or that sort of thing, and they just go out with a drill rig and start poking holes in anticipation of larger projects.
Right.
That's, I think, where the biggest.
Well, that makes sense.
And we can't find out about that usually well enough in advance.
So, is this something to act on at this point, or?
Right, I was curious about that direct bar register. What would it cost us just to register our underground infrastructure with the GSOC?
$50 a year.
And once it's registered?
Yeah.
You have to start immediately locating. There's no ambiguity about that. Once your facility is registered, you have to do it. So that's due to the need to budget for it. That's why we're mm-hmm. recommending locating it in 2019 so that you could be budgeting for it for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. So we register. You get a phone call.
So we budget 20,000 or 15,000 right. or something.
Right.
That's how it works, period. Okay.
All right. Anybody
thank you.
Have any other detailed questions?
Very interesting.
Thank you very much. So somebody will drill into a pipe tomorrow.